Welcome to Power CEOs, the truth behind the business. I'm Jen Godet, your fearless host, entrepreneur, investor, and business strategist. Why are we here? Because iron sharpens iron. And when we bring industry leaders, disruptors, and others to share what's working in business and even what's not, we're all able to learn and grow. As a result, our businesses grow, and the ripple effect impacts not only ourselves, but also our teams, their families, our communities, and our world. Folks, today we are gonna go straight into one of the most urgent questions in business. When everyone can create content, AI-generated, automate outreach, and generate expert answers in seconds, what makes somebody trustworthy? AI has changed the marketplace. Visibility is easier, content is cheaper, attention is a bunch of noise. But trust? Trust is harder to earn than ever. My guest today is Joshua B. Lee, founder of Standout Authority and creator of Humanize. Joshua helps founders and executives to become the trusted answer in AI-shaped world by building human-first authority, especially through LinkedIn. We're gonna dive into AI, LinkedIn, trust, human relationships, ethical integration, and so much more about why the future of business might not belong to the people who produce the most content. It might belong to the people who are the most recognizable, credible, trustworthy, and overarchingly human. The marketplace is drowning in AI slop, but being real is not being anything other than strategic. Joshua, welcome to Power CEOs.
Jen, thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here with you today.
Me too. I am super stoked about this conversation, in case you couldn't tell. Perfect. Listen, AI-made content is a dime a dozen. It's cheap. It's everywhere. We can all spot it. I'm so sick of M-dashes, by the way. trust is now the currency of business. So I don't think AI killed trust. I think it exposed who never really had it to begin with.
Well said.
So I want to dive into that because you have been at the forefront of the relationship building and trust industry, LinkedIn, everything that you've done. So tell me, a couple years ago, relationships were built through referrals, calls, in-person networking, all of those things.
Yeah.
And today, people are meeting us through our digital footprint. How do we generate trust in this digital age?
You know, that's an amazing question, Jen, because I think that's the big thing that most people are not even asking yet, right? Because I think that is the question that we all need to be asking right now, because you talk about how do we generate trust, because right now everyone's like, oh, well, I can do AI. AI can do everything. AI can't actually be able to show what you've lived, right? They're not doing, it's not going through to be able to have that lived experience. And I think this is the biggest thing that I see changing is there's a huge difference between expert and authority, right? Because when we're talking about this, an expert, we're all experts with AI. I mean,
time out. We're generic experts.
We're generic experts. Well, I'm sorry. Again, I forgot my air quotes. You know, again, we're all experts with AI, right? I can pretend to be everything, but it's not going to be that authority. That's the difference. That's what we want to be able to see. The person that you trust, the person that you want to be able to understand because they've lived that life, they've gone through it, and they can actually learn from those experiences. And so that's where I kind of see a lot of this shift changing, is how are you being that storyteller to be able to talk about where you've been, where you're at, and where you're going? And I think that's what's going to be able to shift in this world right now.
So let me ask you, because I talk about this all the time. I say that, you know, it's fine to use AI to help you generate content.
Yeah.
But we have to have the human input with the real lived experiences, because let's be real. AI never lays awake at 2 a.m. wondering how the heck it's going to make payroll or put food on the table. Like, it can't. It's not in its experience at this point in time. And so we can leverage the tool, but we have to have that real human input, that authentic voice, the authentic lived stories. And then after it puts it in format, we have to then look at it and make sure it's still in our brand voice, because sometimes that can change. So talk to me a little bit about how do we leverage AI while keeping our voice.
Yeah.
Like, what does that look like for you? What does that look like for the clients?
You know, and I think this is the big thing. I was at an event, let's say 5 months ago. There's about 200 people in the audience, Jen. And out of all of them, they're all 7, 8, 9 figure e-com experts. And I said, everyone, raise your hand if you used AI. Of course, everyone raises their hand. Like, I said, okay, who here has actually taught AI? Who you are, what you serve, they've actually built an AI persona to actually be able to go through those life experiences that you're talking about. I think one or two people in the audience, That's crazy to me because, again, that's how it understands who you are, how to be able to tell the story. Now, AI is going to get us there 70, 80%. Mm-hmm. It's getting a lot better now that we're getting these new levels that every single time everyone continues to be able to change to. I mean, it's like, oh, are you using Claude today? Are you using Perplexity? Are you using Gemini? It continues to be able to jump around, but none of the models matter as much as your story. And like Rachel and I, my wife, who helps me run Standout Authority and help found Humanize, our new company, really one of the biggest things when we're sitting down with a client is, tell us your story. And so they all go in, they go, okay, well, let me tell you about my story. I started my company here and I love my wife to death because she goes, stop. No. Can we go back in? Because what I'm telling you right now is I want to be able to understand your story from where you were. Where did you begin? How did you grow up? Because that's something AI will never have. And that's what we're talking about. Because as human beings, we make decisions emotionally. And I'm sorry, but AI does not have emotion, right? And that's the biggest thing. It puts out, this is why we're in a world of sameness right now. We all see the same amount of content being able to go through, and AI cannot be able to really translate that into another human being.
Wait, it's not this, it's that.
I mean, we can all be able to go through and be able to look at the different aspects of, oh, wait, and people pick it. And now people are going, oh, well, I'm going to put typos in my content, and that's going to tell me, no one will believe it's AI now. And I mean, we continue to be able to see all the different stuff. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have that emotional, because it doesn't matter if it's AI or not, right? As human beings, we make those decisions based on some degree of love or hate. Mm-hmm. We do not make decisions being indifferent. And I think that's the biggest thing that everyone has to make sense of today. Being indifferent, not putting content out there that actually makes people choose yes or no, love or hate, you're just wasting time, right? Not only wasting your time, but the reader's time. And that's what AI is helping everyone do more of right now.
Yeah, time wasting. I couldn't agree more. So let's talk a little bit about how AI has changed the way that buyers evaluate founders, executives, and brands, because it absolutely has entered the equation.
Yeah.
And this is part of what you guys are working on.
This is one of the biggest things. And we were talking about this as an event that we were just speaking at yesterday, mm-hmm. right? Being able to go in, AI is the filter now that most people don't even realize is happening. We are now living in this world of a zero-click mentality. I mean, how many times... I mean, people are going in, yes, we still use Google, but at the top, you're talking about Geminis being able to get their answer. Well, if I get the answer, why do I need to go to a website? I mean, I think that's the big thing that everyone continues to be able to not pay attention to. If you're either the answer or you're not, and that's where we're seeing this shift from SEO, search engine optimization, to AEO, or I guess if you're in the corporate world, GEO, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to see how that plays out, but answer engine optimization, because that's what it's looking for. Can AI understand who you are, what you do, and what you serve, and be able to infer the question that someone is asking and be able to actually put you in the conversation? And Jen, that's the big difference everyone needs to pay attention to. SEO brought someone to your website. AEO, answer engine optimization, with AI, puts you in the conversation. That's where we want to be. Either you're in it or you're not.
And so I saw the other day, 79% of people aren't even getting outside of that little AI-generated box.
Not at all.
Box. Yeah. So it's absolutely the truth. Let me ask you, where are founders mistaking looking credible for actually being credible? You know what I'm talking about.
I mean, I'll watch my language here because no one cares about their shiny things anymore. And I think that's the big problem. When you talk about LinkedIn... Everyone wants to say, look at me, look what I've done, look what I can do for you. No one cares. And I think this is where founders are messing up. And they're talking about their companies, the things that their companies have done. And people really want to understand the person, the human being behind the company. And they're too scared to be able to do that because they're scared that if they actually show how they think, who they care about, what they like, what they don't like, that people are going to be able to judge them, but they don't realize that's already happening. We spent so many years as experts, as gurus, whatever you want to call the marketers that were out there selling everyone, to be able to give the next hacks, the next tricks to these founders, to these CEOs on how to be able to speak to the algorithms. And I think the big thing is now AI thinks like human beings. So we have to remind everyone how to be human online again. And CEOs and founders don't understand that. They think if they put themselves out there too much, it's going to take away from their company, and that's what's actually going to hurt them in today's world.
So we only have a brief amount of time for this, but I really want to get this out before the break, because I think this is a sort of a provocative conversation to have. Are some founders losing deals, losing potential clients today because their digital presence creates doubt before they even enter the room?
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, it's amazing how many people we actually talk to, Jen, that go through and you look at what their LinkedIn says, and then it basically talks about what they used to do 20 years ago because they haven't updated it since it first came out. You look at their picture, you go through that, and then you meet the person, and then there's inconsistencies. People are making 80% of their decisions before they ever talk to somebody. And if you're not recommended by AI, if you're not showing up the right way on LinkedIn, if you don't show not just you talking about you, but other people talking about you and how well you have helped them or accomplished the goals that they're trying to accomplish, like, that deal's gone.
That's right. So folks, just to kind of wrap this up with a bow, if you're not being authentically you and bringing your human experiences and emotionality into your content, then buyers don't know whether they want to do business with you or not. Because at the end of the day, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. I mean, it's so cliche, but it is absolutely the truth. Trust reduces friction. Less friction means easier sales, stronger pipeline, better partnerships, and stronger brand equity. That is what's going to support your growth and your enterprise value. We do have to take a brief break, but we're going to be right back. Stick around. Power CEO's Truth Behind the Business. I am here with Joshua B. Lee, and we are talking all things AI versus humanity in the trust equation online. Listen, folks, AI can help you with speed, with structure, with ideation, with research, repurposing, with distribution, but it cannot replace lived experience. It cannot replace your scar tissue. It can't replace that moment when you said, man, I learned this the hard way. That's what's cutting through right now. AI is here to amplify our voices, but not to replace us. And the founders who are leaning into that humanity are the ones that are being remembered, being more visible, and sealing the deal. Josh, where is that line between using AI well and having AI sort of erase that humanity?
You know, I don't think most people understand that. They think it's gonna be able to do all their job for them, be able to represent them. You know, and that's that piece, right? Like, people need to be able to pay attention that we don't need more content. And I think that everyone continues to be able to tell, okay, put up more content. I'm going to tell you, Jen, I mean, how many times do you find yourself on a, let's say, a Friday night looking at Netflix and spending more time looking for what you're going to watch than actually watching? I mean, I'm going to tell you, my wife right now, like, if she tells me, like, if you don't pick a show soon, you're in trouble, right? We're spending more time doing that. And that's what we're talking about with the content. It's not about more content. It's about how do we actually create content that actually interacts, that really draws someone in, that excites us. And AI is not going to be able to do that. If you just want to be able to gather information and be able to spew it back out to somebody, cool, AI can be able to help you do that. But if you really want to be able to engage your audience and be able to have them love or hate you, like I talked about before, it's going to have to be you, and you're going to have to step up and put yourself on the line and let them know who you are and where you've been and be able to tell a story, like, not just what you do.
That's right. I'll tell you, like, what people respond to, everything that does well for me is when I'm being snarky. It's when I'm calling out the BS that I'm seeing everywhere else. And I think it's that contrarian, like, I don't see myself as a contrarian, but it's that contrarian sort of attitude. And I have just, the other thing is, let's talk about this. When we take a stand, we have haters.
Yeah.
That is gonna happen. When we're successful, we have haters. Like, and I've said this on the show before, if you don't have any hate, then you're not doing it right. You're not playing big enough in your sandbox. So can you speak a little to that? Because one of the biggest things that I'm seeing, I do a lot with enterprises that are larger, and you have executives who are afraid to be authentic online because that's not how we used to do it. They wanna be super polished, but now you can't tell the super polished human from the super polished you know, generic slop. And so can you speak a little to the executives who are watching? The people who are like, yeah, I don't really need a personal brand. Wrong answer. can you speak a little bit to that? Because there's a very big fear of visibility, and so, especially in some of these corporate spaces.
I mean, Jen, here's the thing, right? Like, you have to be able to think about, one, let me pause for a second, because again, this is where I get in trouble. I'm a serial entrepreneur, y'all. I've been doing this for 25 years. One of my first clients was MySpace, so that gives my age away, because I know a lot of times my hair doesn't really give it away that well. So you have to be able to pay attention to what your roles and rules are within your corporation before you just do what Josh says, because I don't want everyone to go on there and be like, oh, well, Josh told me to be able to say whatever I want. But you have to be able to say it, and you have to let people understand. Like, I'm not telling everyone to go, hey, you know, today on LinkedIn, my kids went to school. That's great. That's an obligatory, you know, Facebook post. But people need to know you have kids. Like, oh, Josh is a dad. Me too. That's what we want to be able to get back to. And I think that's where people need to understand, because human beings connect with other human beings. Like you kind of said, there's B2B and B2C were created by guys like me 30 years ago to diversify ad spend, right? Every company is run by another human being. Most marketers forget that. So it's all H to H, human to human. And that's what we have to really be able to draw back in. And this is the thing, Jen, like one thing that I'm seeing right now more than ever, people want to understand who's behind that company, right? I mean,
that's right.
I'm going to tell you right now, like even my family, like if you vote red or blue, they either like you or don't like you, even if you're family now. And that's the world we're living in. And so that's where people really want to be able to make that decision.
Yeah. And it's honestly, people are now making the value-based decisions with their dollars in the United States, especially whether it's political or religious or whatever, yeah. Right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, it is actually people want to do business with people who share their values. And so if you don't have clear values, and it doesn't have to be political or religious,
right.
if people online, guys, don't understand what your values are or what your company values are, they don't know whether they want to do business or that you align with them. You know, like I'll be one of the things that everybody who does business with me knows, I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it for the impact. And so I do business with people who are solving a real world problem that's going to improve equitable access and give everybody an opportunity should they choose to take it. And so that's kind of my lens.
Love it.
And it means a lot of people opt out, because I have no problem if all you want is to become a megalo big billionaire. I don't care.
Yeah.
But you're not for me. I'm not going to buy your products. I'm not going to support your business. I'm supporting businesses that have a real world impact that's elevating and gives people an opportunity. And so like, that's how I'm being human in my business choices. And if I'm not sharing that, people don't know that about me. And that's where like our marketing advantage, our distinct advantage in the marketplace is when people understand who we are, what we care about, and how we got that way. And so another thing, and I want to kind of speak about this, because everybody wants to show the Instagram real life. Oh, I'm perfect. I can't tell you what, when we went to the beach with our grandkids.
Yeah.
And there's people out there taking like 150 different photos to make one good one to post on social media. Instead of enjoying the fact that they're at the beach.
Don't you love the people that go in there like, look where I'm working today. And I'm like, that sucks. I'm sorry that you're I'm sorry you're at the beach having to work right now. Like, that doesn't sound like a vacation.
Yeah, it wasn't a vacation.
But that's what people kind of go into right now. And it's like, come on, like this is the world. But they have to be able to show someone that they are in this opportunity or it didn't happen. And I think that's the wrong way to look at things.
Yep. But you know, where I was really going with this is Nobody wants to show what's under the iceberg. They don't want to show the journey, the hard knocks. They don't ever show the fails. They don't show you every selfie that they took because they look not the way they want to look in, you know, 149 of them.
Yeah.
So in your experience, in your opinion, because you've got tremendous expertise in the space, how important is it for us to talk about our mistakes and the lessons that we've learned, and is that powerful in building our brand?
You know, I'm gonna speak from my own experience, Jen, because I think it's really important for everyone to understand this. Like, from what I see is our perception of other people's perception is what drives most of us crazy. I mean, come on, Jen. I mean, like, I have no clue what you perceive of me until you tell me exactly what you're thinking. But most of us are trying to understand and go, oh, I bet Jen's thinking about this, or I bet Josh thinks this about me. And it drives us crazy, but that's social media. That's what we've been drawn into. And I went through that same aspect. And when you look at almost 12 years ago, You know, I was doing really well. I was running 10 different companies. I was perceived as successful, but I was miserable. I was in a world where I had 40 pounds overweight, never really, you know, didn't know if my friends were there for me or monetary, and I had no vision about where I was going. I just knew where I was at. And I went through a life reset because I even remember staring at the wall, wondering if the money I would leave for my kids would be more important. And I held all that back. And as I went through my life transition, I still tried to be the Josh that everyone expected. And one thing that I finally realized was that was still dragging me down. And once I actually opened up, told everyone where I was, it built that commonality. It allowed people to go, oh my God, he's human. Mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine, Jen, and his name is Ron. And he goes, Josh, you walk into a room and you go, I'm Josh Lee. I've created 15 different companies. I have this many exits. He goes, every single time you do that, you're putting a gap between you and your audience. And what that says is they can't connect with you. You're out of reach. Mm-hmm. But the more you humanize yourself and you talk about the scars, the things that you've gone through, like divorce, like being remarried, like all these different aspects, business failures, it connects you to your audience and it allows them to be able to actually have a real conversation with you and be able to choose you. And that's what we want, to be chosen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's about being human and being authentic and being real. It's not, what we're not saying is to make stuff up or to fabricate. What we're saying is use your lived experience. Don't borrow from someone else. That's happening to
you. Well, the marketers are doing that for a long time. They're like, oh, I live in my car. And it's like, no, you don't. Like, maybe you drive down the street in your car, but you know, I think we finally caught on to that. And I think that's the difference between being, because people are pretending to be authentic, mm-hmm. right? And then there's just being honest, mm-hmm. right? About what you're going through, what you've been through, and what you're trying to be able to accomplish.
Yep, I agree. So Josh, we're getting towards the end and I want people to be able to reach you. So how can people reach out, learn more about what you're doing?
You know, Jen, this might be the funny thing to be able to say, but I really want everyone to reach out to me on LinkedIn, right? Like LinkedIn's an amazing platform. You guys can check out, of course, our website, standoutauthority.com. But if you go to LinkedIn, you find me, Joshua B. Lee, and don't just send me a connection request. I'm not collecting numbers, right? Like that's a big thing that most people continue to be able to do. Send me a message. Tell me why you watch Jen and why you love her so much. And tell me the stories that they've learned about you. And then that way, when they send a message to me, you and I can build a better relationship as well.
That's exactly right. I appreciate that. I always tell people to connect with me on LinkedIn too, because that's something that I actually actively check.
Yeah.
I used to have it managed. I said, no, I need to pull that back, because when other people are managing that, I'm missing the most important things for me because they don't have the same lens. And so, you know, emails all filtered through, everything else is filtered through, but I actually man my LinkedIn myself for that reason.
Most CEOs do.
Yeah, and the reality, folks, is human authority creates defensibility for your brand. Generic content creates just a commoditized positioning. And that only is going to hurt your value proposition and the awareness of your brand. So if you're watching this and you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur, you're an executive, take your last five LinkedIn posts and ask, can any of my competitors have posted this? If the answer is yes, then I want you to take that post and rewrite it with your lived experience, your point of view. Take a stand. What are your values? And then repost it. And just do a little A-B test and see how much further it goes when you do that. We do have to take a brief break, but we'll be right back after these important messages. Welcome back to Power CEOs, the truth behind the business. I'm Jen Godet, your fearless host, and I'm here with Joshua B. Lee. We have been talking all things AI. How do we continue to have content that is human? What does that look like? How do we stand out in a sea of just generic AI slop? And one of the things that keeps coming up in clients and partnerships, conversations I'm having is, how can I use AI? And really, the question is not, how can I use AI? It's how should I use AI in a way that protects trust? Joshua's positioning with Humanize is centered around trust, connection, visibility, and authenticity in this AI-driven world. That's why he is the perfect person to explore whether ethical AI is becoming a real differentiator or just marketing language. So Josh, I'm gonna go into that. When you hear ethical AI integration, what does that actually mean to you?
You know, I think this is an amazing question. Ethical AI, I mean, it's there. It's 100% there. I think actually AI is actually highlighting the human beings that are out there more so than ever, that we're actually showing up as real human beings. And I think it's actually really getting rid of the people that weren't, because what AI is looking for is, let's just be honest, it's being able to match a mathematical equation. Does this person, does this gen be this gen, that's this gen, that's this gen? And if it can't say yes to all of those, guess what? It's not gonna show you. And I think that's where ethical AI comes in, because it's actually showing the truth better than we did as human beings prior. Because again, before that, it was who paid the most money. And AI doesn't care how much money you paid to be in there. And that's why we built Humanize, right? It was, what are the 7 psychological aspects of trust? Because that's what AI is looking for. It's looking to be able to see, can I trust the answer that I'm about to give? And Jen, I know, we've all seen it, the AI illusions, the AI like not figuring out, but it still is trying to be able to do this in the right way. And I think it's actually gonna level the playing field for a lot of us out there that aren't the ones, because no matter how much we want to invest in AI and be able to show in, the right people that are doing it the right way, there's AI coding, vibe coding, but there's also AI vibe hacking as well too. And that's gonna be out there. So I think really what we're talking about is, how are you gonna show up? How are you gonna be able to tell your story? And how are you gonna use AI as a tool rather than to replace you?
Yeah, you know, and I think I would add transparency to that layer, because I mean, it's quite evident most of the time when something is AI generated from a content standpoint. But if we're really want to be in a trust relationship with our clients, they pick up the phone. I'm going to give you an example, and I really want your weigh in on this, because yeah, I think it's great. This is the way not to use AI. PS, this is going to be fun. Have a car, lease. It's a lease. I'm in Austin.
Yeah.
The service is in Houston. Pick up the phone to schedule maintenance. It's obviously AI. I'm in AI. It doesn't say that it's AI. Not at any point in time. It doesn't say, do you want to talk to a human? Not at any point in time. Now, the AI did a great job of taking my information, knowing that I want the appointment next week on Saturday at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And it says, do you want a text or email confirmation or both? Oh, I'd like both. So I get the text and I get the email confirmation. So I'm not knocking that particular interaction, other than I really believe they should say, hey, this is AI.
Yeah.
I'm an AI assistant, because that's transparency.
And I think they're trying to move to that, but I mean, yep, it hasn't happened
actually
yet. There's a lot of rules that
they're not really enforcing at this point in time, but that's a whole other conversation. But I drive 3 hours to have my car serviced, and I show up and they're like, you don't have an appointment. What? And I show them my email confirmation, my text confirmation. This is what I get. You used the AI, didn't you? Wait a minute, I didn't have a choice.
You used the AI.
I didn't have a choice. Of course I used it, because that's all that the option was.
Yeah.
And it didn't communicate. But the eye roll and the sigh and the response from the human indicates to me that this is a recurrent problem, which means they have an issue, and nobody bothered to solve the issue that it wasn't communicating with their service calendar. And then I get told, you're gonna have to come back another day. I said, that is an hockey stick. No, I drove 3 hours to be here. You are gonna service my vehicle today, or I will never do business with you ever again.
Yeah.
They get it, of course, it gets serviced. I don't like to be ugly like that, folks, but when you have to do it and you're tired like that and you did everything the right way, sometimes you have to. So that was a break in trust.
Yeah.
It was a break in trust to me that it didn't disclose that it was AI, even though I knew it, because I'm in ethics and AI myself. And when I got there, the reaction was an instant, this is an unwow. Yeah. I'm going to go somewhere else from now on.
Makes sense.
So talk to me, how do we avoid that when we're looking at content marketing and trust building and relationships, and we think about our AI leveraging it to make us more human and to amplify what we're doing?
First off, I want to say, Jen, that story right there is going to do extremely well, right? Like, that's the kind of stuff I want people to be putting online, right? They're like, oh, it never. Like, I hear that, I'm like, yes, people are going to lean. Like, the amount of comments you would get from that story, Jen, it's, if you haven't put that out there already, please do.
I'm putting it out on television.
But I mean, like, those are the stories. Like, Rachel and I hear these stories all the time, and we're like, why wouldn't you post that? Like, you're sitting there talking about, you know, your business and this and that, but people don't relate. What you just did was take something that was personal with you, being able to connect it to AI and what it's doing and what we need to be able to change within this world. That's the story. That's how we amplify. And I think this is what people miss out on, because they're like, oh, well, AI is telling me to be able to talk about how well I'm doing in marketing, or what kind of funnel I can be able to do, or how I can be able to help clients. And it's forgetting the story. And the reason why it's forgetting the story is because it never knew it in the first place. Mm-hmm. And if you're just having it put out content, because, I mean, I get emails all the time, Jen, that people go in and they go, oh, well, we can be able to help put 300 pieces of content out for you, and we'll create it one day. Come on. Great.
Okay.
There's no way you can read 300 pieces of content to be able to make sure it actually says the right things. And what happens when you show up? Like, I drove here from Austin to be able to hang out with you. If I showed up and I didn't know what I was talking about, and we only knew each other from online, and you read my post, and he's like, oh, this guy knows LinkedIn and AI, and I showed up and I didn't.
Oh, you're right.
We'd probably be kicked out.
Oh,
right
I
now.
Would. We would have canned the session.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, sorry, that's not something that we can
But I think do. That's where people aren't paying attention to. They're going to be called out. And if you think that you're just going to be sitting behind a computer these days, because that's where they think that everyone's going to be, that's not the case. People are looking for this new, real human connection now more than ever. AI is here to be able to assist us, but it cannot replace us. And I think what the biggest companies, the best companies are going to do is they're going to find the trusted human that knows how to use AI. And that's the people, those are the companies, that's where we're going to see success.
So let me ask you, where's the real line between leverage and leveraging the technology and manipulation? Because that is definitely blurring quite a bit in this slop era.
I mean, look, there's always going to be manipulation. We can't get around that. As I said, if there's vibe coding, there's vibe hacking.
Yes, that's true.
And the amount of money that people will put behind vibe hacking will be 10x what we'll put towards trying to create something good. Now, how do we actually draw the line as a human being? No, never put anything out there that you haven't done, that you can't do, I hate, even before AI, Jen, we had the people, I'm going to teach you how to make seven figures. I'm going to give you a story. So I've been doing this, like I said, for 25 years. And I was in the online advertising world for many years. And I had this one person come to me, goes, Josh, can you get me clients that are, and companies that are doing six figures a month? I said, of course, we can be able to optimize that. He goes, great. He goes, I have a product, I have a service, I have a coaching that can be able to double how much they're making on a monthly basis. I said, wow, that's fantastic. All right, well, we have a $10,000 retainer to be able to get on. He goes, well, I don't have $10,000 right now. Can I pay you after I make a sale? I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. How do you help someone that's making six figures a month and you don't have the 10K to kick it off? But that's the whole piece, right? This is what people need to realize. Like, that's the essence. You don't do things that you haven't done.
That's a lack of integrity. Let's just call it what it is. It's a lack of integrity.
But people are going to use that now more than ever, Jen, because again, AI is going to help them seem like they know what they're going to do. And I think we're going to have people being taken advantage of. And this is why we created humanize.ai, because we wanted to be able to level the playing field, the people that are truly trying to add value to this world, just not just monetize it. Because just like you said, we don't work with them. If you come to me and you're like, hey, Josh, I want leads or help me monetize, I'm not your guy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's 1,000 people that are behind me that are going to take your money, because that's exactly what they're going to do. But if you want to add value, you want to educate, you want to inspire, you want to draw your audience, those are the people we want to be able to help.
Mm-hmm. And that makes perfect sense. So, I mean, you know, you sort of touched on this, but I want to ask, like, what was the deciding factor to build Humanize?
For us, we were really blessed. I mean, we've had a lot of amazing clients throughout the years. And last year, Rachel and I went on a sabbatical, so to speak, into California. And we were sitting back and we had a client of ours, AWS, and they were telling us they loved what we did with their executives, being able to help them out, be able to show their true voice, because they realized the human beings at their company were the ones that were really going to help them really shine more, because they were hiding those human beings behind the company. And they wanted to humanize their brand. And of course, Humanize was amazing. You know, we've been doing that for a while. But they go, Josh, we'd love to be able to make, and actually they were talking to Rachel. I don't want to take credit for where credit doesn't go through. You see, I love my wife. But they said that we'd love to be able to make this company culture, but we can't quantify the spend, right? We can't quantify personal branding for all of our employees, being able to go in. And so that's where we had to be able to go. And we had to be able to build a scorecard that had never been there before. And that's where we're trying to create this personal brand standard.
That's fantastic. So we're going to dive deeper into that, folks. But your takeaway, your big takeaway from this is create your AI use rules for public-facing communication. Don't let every employee guess this, because that's how trust gets messy really fast. Be very clear on what are your trust points and make sure that AI is amplifying you and you are still keeping that human touch, that human trust point, because that's what we've been all about. People do business with people they know, like, and trust. We will be right back after these important messages. Welcome back to Power CEOs, the truth behind the business. Are you loving what you're watching? Stay connected to this show and all your Now Media TV favorites anytime, anywhere by downloading the free app on iOS or for Roku. Prefer podcasts? Me too. You can catch us anytime, anywhere in podcast format at www.nowmedia.tv. Stay tuned to your favorite programming where we talk about business, lifestyle, culture, and more anytime, anywhere. Let's get right back into our conversation. I am here with Joshua B. Lee. We are talking about AI. How do we maintain our human authenticity in our content? How do we continue to build trust when we're leveraging technology? And how do we stand out in this complete sea of slop? And the reality is, Josh is an expert in LinkedIn. And we left off talking about his newest initiative, which is Humanize. Folks, LinkedIn is not your resume anymore. It is literally your trust infrastructure. So I want to go to you, Josh, and ask you about the name of your company.
Yeah.
Talk to me about why Humanize.
Well, Jen, we're in human. We are in human, as always, but we are in Houston as well, too. And so growing up in Houston, as I say it, I don't know about you, but I don't actually pronounce the H. I say Houston. Mm-hmm. And so I was at a dinner with some friends. We were telling them about the idea because we have our podcast, Humanize Your Brand, being able to go in. And they're like, that's brilliant. I go, what? I said, well, they're like, humanize. I'm like, yeah, that's what I said. And even Rachel goes, wow, I never thought about it like that. And they're like, yeah, Y-O-U, being able to go in. And that was the big shift, right? To be able to go through and talk about you, because I think this is the biggest problem most of us continue to be able to see, is that they're talking about humanizing a brand, but it starts with you. And I think that's where everyone needs to be able to make sure they're actually going through to be able to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. If you're going to show up, if it doesn't start with you, if it doesn't start, this is the same thing I teach my kids, right? Being able to go in, it's like, if you want respect, you have to have respect for yourself first.
That's right.
And I think that's where the AI, you talk about being able to go in. We talk about ethical use the case of AI. How can you respect yourself if you're allowing someone to be your voice?
I couldn't agree with you more. So listen, like in the break, we were sort of talking a little bit about LinkedIn having its own AI tools, but then we're sort of get our hands slapped if we use AI tools in LinkedIn, and it happens in other platforms as well. So what has changed the most? And can you talk a little bit about the AI, using AI in our posting, the obvious AI generated content? Why should or we shouldn't we be, what should or we shouldn't we be doing on LinkedIn?
You know, I mean, I've been blessed to be able to work with a lot of amazing humans. I've been doing the LinkedIn side for 12 years. I guess recently in March, I was named the number one LinkedIn growth expert in the country. Number six in the world. So I still got a little ways to go.
always more goals.
Always more goals to be able to go in. So the biggest thing I continue to be able to see is for us being able to go through, we look at the 10-20-70 method of content creation. And I think this is important for everyone because I think this is a piece that AI can't do. One, it's funny. I always love the platforms give us AI tools. And then at the same time, if we use them, they actually ding us for it.
Yeah.
and that's crazy to me. So the one thing you need to think about is 10-20-70. 10% of your content needs to be about you. How do you actually humanize yourself? How do you actually connect with your audience, right? It's not about, like I talked to you earlier, on Facebook, right? You want to be like, oh, today's my first day of kids' school, right? Being able to go in. You don't need to know that, but you need to be able to get from the door to the couch, right? And you need to be able to have that conversation. So making sure someone knows you're a father, you're a mother, or your grandmother, being able to go in, that's that personal connection. AI is not going to get you there. 20% of your content needs to be around your company, but not what you can do, what you have done for somebody else. Hmm. Now, the big thing that I really want, and this is where you can use AI, Jen, is the fact that you want to be able to make 70%, you want to be an aggregator of value. Like, AI is trying to be able to go through and really be able to connect all the different information and see who is the authority, who is going through to be able to connect and be able to share as much as possible, because no matter who it is, people want to be able to understand the person they're talking to actually understands and will give as much value as they can receive from that person.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And like, let's talk a little bit about that, because we talked about expert versus authority at the beginning of the show. Yeah. And an authority is actually sitting above the experts. So when we're sharing as the expert authority, when we're the authority and we're sharing other experts' content on the platform, that's a win for us, because we're doing what the platform wants. They want us, it's a social media. Social media wants us to be social. Let's just be real. Yeah. It wants us to connect. And here I am, like, when I share, if I share your post, for example, I'm being the authority sharing your expert opinion in LinkedIn or whatever it is that is in that post. I share a lot of other things on AI from other experts in the space.
Yeah.
I mean, that's experts like this, because I truly believe there's no such thing as an expert in AI, because it changes every single
thing. I mean, unless they were doing it back in the 80s, 90s when it was called machine learning, and they're still doing it now, then I'll give them that AI expert.
Yes, but they're a subject matter expert in what it is that they do. They might not be the business expert on that. So, like, I think it's got to be a very, very defined SME in that.
I mean, I like the 2-year-old AI guy that's like, oh, I'm an AI expert. I mean,
oh, or the 6-month. Wait, I use Claude. Sorry. Anyway, let's get back to the conversation. Like, talk to us about how important it is to share the other experts' information or curated content. Really, it's about curating content for our audience. We should be solving other problems than the ones that just our business solves, correct?
100%. I mean, I think this is the big thing. Like, your name out of your mouth is not as powerful as your name out of someone else's mouth. And so when you're giving out to be able to actually highlight other human beings, people appreciate that. They pay attention to that aspect. And that's one thing that I really want everyone to pay attention to, because even if I'm out there and I'm like, wow, Jen's an expert in this, I want you to be able to see that. If I'm the one being able to share her content, a lot of times they're still going to come to me for the answer, mm-hmm. right? How do I actually solve this? Because you're the one that brought Jen to me in the first place. Now, don't get me wrong, they're going to still look for you to be able to kind of go through, but that's the piece. We have to be that aggregator value, and it can't just be from us, because Jen, we don't know everything.
That's right. And then we're just a talking head. How boring is that? I cannot believe how many people just get on there every day and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, really?
I can't. I literally cannot sit there. And like, for me, the only way that I can actually just sit there and talk at the camera, I have to be walking. And you always see on my videos, like, I'll be walking my dogs, I'll be walking with my daughter, things like that, because I don't know, even maybe my ADHD. It's one of those things, they just will not kick in to be able to sit there and just talk at people, because no one wants to be talked at.
No, definitely not. And there's no energetic exchange. Let's be real. Like, we have an energetic exchange. I can't even stand when I'm on a Zoom doing an interview, because there's a delay. I can't see the whole body language. I don't know if you're leaning in all the way. Like, there's just things, there's social cues that we miss in communication. And so, like, it's an actual thing. And when there's a, like, camera in front of me, I mean, like, I've got cameras here, I'm on television, I hardly ever look at the camera. It's like an effort to do that.
Me either. That's why you
so you know, that's it's just a different sort of thing, because the camera is impersonal, just like AI is impersonal.
Yeah.
And so all we're doing is amplifying that.
Do you think that's why people look at themselves on the camera? And that's why when you're actually going through, they're always wanting to look at themselves, because they're looking for that personal connection?
Maybe. I'll tell you, when I'm on a Zoom, I cancel. I don't want to see myself at all.
Yeah.
Like, because that, like, I find it distracting when people are on a Zoom and they're looking at themselves and they start fidgeting with all the things.
You can tell everyone being able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think, I mean, maybe it is. I'll tell you what I do. when I do it, I set up the camera so that I see the other side of the phone. I can't see myself. And I put a picture of my grandchildren on there. So I'm talking to the grandbabies whenever
Again,
I'm on camera.
Love that. Yeah.
it's simple hacks like that, folks, that can help you to just really bring the human back of it. So we're getting to the end of our episode. Unfortunately, all good things do come to an end. How can people reach out to you, learn more about Humanize and the work that you're doing?
You know, Jen, I really hope everyone can check it out because, again, we built Humanize to really be able to level the playing field for everyone. And so you go to youmanize.ai and be able to sign in, like get your free score. It's going to be able to actually look at your digital fingerprint across the entire internet. And let me tell you, if you're not showing up, that's probably a big problem right there. But one of the biggest things is looking at the 7 psychological aspects of trust. Really not how many likes you have, not how many comments. We're not trying to give the vanity metrics. We're trying to be able to actually dive deep into the human beings that are out there that are truly adding value to this world and be able to highlight them and be able to give them an equal playing field that's out there.
Yes, and of course, be sure to connect with Josh on LinkedIn. And I just want to kind of wrap before we end. Your LinkedIn shouldn't be a resume. It shouldn't read like a resume. What it should answer is, why you? Why now? Why should I trust you? From the perspective of your clients or your prospective business partners or the investors who are looking. When you're posting on LinkedIn, ask yourself from the perspective of the person's attention you want to attract, why should they keep paying attention? Really put yourself in those shoes. And guess what? AI can help you to understand what that is if you're missing the mark. Otherwise, you can contact Josh and let him and Rachel help you in order to do that. Josh, thank you so much for having this conversation on the air. I love to have an immediate action step for people. You talked about the 70-20-10. You talked about so many things today. What is the one action you would want founders or executives to take right now?
There's so many to be able to go in, Jen, but what I want everyone to be able to look at is your title, right? Because most of you have founder, investor, CEO, sales, whatever it might be. I want you to be able to think about your title as how it is customer facing forward, right? And this is how AI looks at it as well, too. This is how humans look at it. It needs to be able to create an impact. So it's our XYZ statement. Change it to I help X to do Y so they can have Z, right? Like X is your ideal audience. It shows you who you're talking to, who you help. Y is the service you provide, but Z is the outcome. It's the emotional trigger that will make someone want to work with you or buy from you and be able to move forward with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your expertise. Thanks for joining me today. And you, yes, you, unfortunately, all good things come to a show, to an end, including this show. But the good news is we'll be here same time, same station next week. So without further ado, win today, win this week, and we'll see you same time, same station next week. Have a great day.